In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
From St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. Though our outward nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed every day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. The weight of glory. One time, C.S. Lewis, one of our greatest Anglican apologists of the 20th century, preached a sermon called The Weight of Glory at St. Mary's University Church in Oxford, England. And that had been John Henry Newman's old church as well. But what is this weight of glory that God has given us? It is a gravitas that enables us to see life and reality as it is, because of the indwelling presence of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And it causes us to be aware of ourselves as temples of the Holy Spirit and to perceive that in others as well. And in that great sermon, if you've never read it, I recommend it, The Weight of Glory, C.S. Lewis. He says so many profound things. But one of them is this: when you walk down the street and encounter other people, you have never met a mortal. We are surrounded by immortals. All of us have an eternal destiny with God and the saints and angels, or in hell with the demons. So this is a very sobering thing to reflect upon, but we are called to do it because of our lessons today, because the Old Testament lesson reminds us of the wages of sin. And we all have to live in this fallen world because of the disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve. But this is just another way of saying, because of the fatal flaw in human nature that turns us away from God. In our pride, in our lack of humility in receiving His grace, because we'd rather experience defeat after defeat after defeat, saying, I'd rather do it myself. Self, that's the problem. We're too concerned with ourselves, because we lack the humility to get caught up in something bigger than self. And that, of course, is the way of Christ, which requires humility, patience, sacrifice, and repentance of our sins. So the Old Testament lesson reminds us that we are fated to live in a fallen world. And because of that disorienting fact, it's hard to discern reality sometimes, and hard to know the difference between good and evil. Good and evil. And so our gospel for today deals with this problem, this idea of mistaking good for evil. And this is very prevalent today. In our fallen world, people say good is bad, up is down, male is female, right is wrong. And this is symptomatic of the fallen world in which we live. And so today's gospel addresses this difficult problem of discernment in the fallen world with all its distortions. How can we know the difference between good and evil? We're told that the light of Christ rises out of the darkness to show us the truth. What is truth? Jesus said, "My word is truth." Pilate said, What the heck is truth?" He didn't know. But Jesus set him straight, "My word is truth." So we have a definition of truth seen in our Lord. So we come to this gospel for today from St. Mark, and we see people struggling with the knowledge of good and evil that goes back to Adam and Eve in the garden. But it's fascinating because it touches on several interesting points while telling a basic story. And the central point of the story is to show the opposition of the authorities to our Lord. And they accuse him of doing good by means of evil, of casting out demons by the prince of demons. And to all this, Jesus replies that if this were so, the powers of evil would be at war with themselves and would have ceased to have any power over men and women. But then he tells them something that has been misunderstood and worried about by many to this very day. Whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. This is the unforgivable sin. And this saying probably should be on the top of a list entitled "Things We Wish Jesus Had Never Said," because it's been so misinterpreted. The words of Jesus about the so-called unforgivable sin were in this context. The authorities were accusing him of doing good by evil means. They said he was beside himself. And there again, they're getting everything mixed up because they're calling sanity insanity. They're calling good evil. This was the sin for which there could be no forgiveness. When we denounce as evil anything that seeks justice and goodness, this is the sin against the Holy Spirit. Because in calling good evil, we show a moral obtuseness so deep-rooted that there is no hope for its being challenged. Because before anyone can be forgiven, they have to realize they have sinned, ask forgiveness, and seek to change. Calling good evil, there is no awareness of sin. And so the impossibility of forgiveness. God in Christ Jesus will forgive us anything, no matter how vicious and deplorable, if we are aware of our sin and ask his forgiveness and pledge amendment of life. So this is it. The only unforgivable sin is that for which we fail to ask forgiveness. So it's not some secret, horrible thing that will hurt us if we somehow do it unawares. And how can we be aware of sin, of being able to know good from evil? And this is what St. Paul and C.S. Lewis call the weight of glory. God gives us this terrible responsibility to know good from evil. And this is the weight of glory. How do we know the difference? Well, it is to be aware of the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit within us and within everybody else. It is to steep ourselves in the gospel, as I hope we're doing, all of us are doing this morning. It is in an intimate relationship with our Savior, our brother, our friend, Jesus, through prayer, contemplation, sensing His presence in the lives of those all around. It is in the faith and practice and sacraments and fellowship of the church. And this is such an important thing, the fellowship of the church. Very important to sense His abiding presence as we come to the altar and in the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because that again gives us hope to endure this weight of glory that God has given us. And when we do all these things and pray about them, we will be able to know what is good and what is evil, and will not have to worry over confusing or blurring them. So that doesn't mean we will be sinless. All of us are sinners. All have fallen short of the glory of God. But at the least, we have the light to be aware that we are forgiven and accepted as forgiven sinners, loved and valued by God, almost in spite of ourselves. Sometimes it's hard to forgive ourselves. Sometimes it's hard to love ourselves. But we cannot love our neighbors as ourselves if we don't love ourselves in the right way. The Christ-like way, perceiving not that we are holy, but that God is holy and that He lives within us, and that we can be more than we are with that awareness. And so we are blessed, almost in spite of ourselves. I hope that's the reason we're all here this morning. Not because we think we're good church-going people, but because we're not all that good. But incredibly, God loves us anyway. That's the good news of the gospel. He loves us in spite of ourselves. He enables us to love ourselves in the right way so that we can love one another in the right way. So as you come to the altar rail to receive the bread of life and the cup of salvation, I hope just for a little while you'll be able to forget yourself and be caught up into something bigger than self. Because that's why we are here. And we have been loved and forgiven and enabled all by the grace of God, seen in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.